before and lay your hand upon me. You see, God has this understanding of who we are, but he doesn't use it for our harm. If you think about a hem, and I love the way this is worded, a hem on a garment, it creates a border so that the end doesn't get frayed and torn. It protects it. It provides a clear boundary. And if we think about that in terms of who God is to us, in his understanding of us, he hems us in, he creates those boundaries, he creates that border to protect us, to keep us from being, going, doing what will just cause us harm in the end. You see, God knows us. He uses this understanding, this knowledge of who we are, not for our harm, but for our good. And so as we come to him, knowing God knows my thoughts, God knows my intentions, he knows what I'm pursuing, he knows when I stand up, when I lay down, we see this beautiful picture of this understanding is used by him for our protection, for our good. This knowledge is too wonderful for us. To know somebody so intimately, so perfectly, and for the purpose of that knowledge to be so good. Because in earthly relationships, even with those we are closest to, we get hurt. We hurt those that are closest to us. Sometimes intentionally if we're upset, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes by accident. And that intimacy with people, that close relationship with people as they get to know us, like I said, it brings this vulnerableness and it brings that opportunity for hurt. And so to imagine that someone could know us so well, so perfectly, yet his intentions for us are all good. His intentions, his desire for us is for good and not for evil. So many times our insecurities can lead to distance in relationships. Our fear, other people's insecurities, sin, lies, selfishness, they can cause us to keep people at arm's distance. And sometimes even try to keep God at arm's distance. Whether we convince ourselves that he wouldn't understand somehow, or we messed up too bad, or he isn't really there for us as we want him to be, we can keep him at arm's distance. But we see in this psalm this reality of the depths of his understanding of who we are right alongside with his pure, perfect, and loving desire for us. And so we can say, as the writer of this psalm does, it is too wonderful for us. Too wonderful for us to comprehend that somebody can look at us. And as Evelyn shared in her testimony, look at us and choose us and love us and care for us and hem us in, protect us. We go on in this psalm. We pick it up in verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall overcome me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Here we see how one of God's attributes plays into this reality of him knowing us. His omnipresence, the fact that God is everywhere all the time. There's nowhere we can go to escape from his presence. And as the psalmist writes this, it's not like he's trying to get away from God's presence. It's not like, you know, the person that you're trying to avoid at the church potluck, but everywhere you turn, there they are. And no, we don't do that, right? We love everybody. We'd never do that. But it's no matter where we go, we can never escape the presence of him. We can never escape the presence of our God. And again, you know, if somebody else were to say this, it would be a little bit disturbing because we need our space. Because just as we're not perfect, other people aren't perfect. And to be in somebody's presence 24/7, even those we love the most, sometimes we think, I just need some me time. I just need a break. But again, as we look at this in relation to the character of who God is, we see the beauty of this is that no matter where life takes us, no matter what journey we are on, we're never away from his presence. We're never away from his goodness, from his love, from his promises. It uses these opposites, these dichotomies, whether I go up to the heavens or down to Sheol. When I'm on the mountaintop celebrating, when I feel like I'm in the depths of the darkness, God is there. It says, when I'm in the uttermost parts of the sea, so the furthest place that we can go, the furthest place from where we think we should be to where we end up, we will never escape God's presence. I remember it was a number of years ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago, I went up to Vanderhoof, BC, up in northern BC, with the church I was a part of, and we were helping them with the kids' club. And at the time, I had never really experienced prophecy, words from the Lord. And this lady came up to me, and she said, I believe I have a word for you. And I was kind of unsure. You know, the good Baptist boy in me had never really experienced that. And what she said is, I believe God's saying that you're going to find yourself in situations you never believed yourself being in. But God will be with you. He knows. And I'll tell you, that's true. And it was such an encouragement to me, as since then I found myself in positions I never expected. I found myself in places I never expected to be. I never imagined moving to Alberta. I know my wife, Patricia, she's a BC girl. She never imagined moving to Alberta. But this is that reality. No matter where we go, no matter what life takes us, even if it's the last exact opposite, the last place we would imagine ourselves being, even if we're in a place where we didn't really have a choice of being there, because at the end of the day, other people's choices can dictate where we go in life. Whether it's a job change, whether it's a relationship, whether it's whatever else that life may throw at us, we can find ourselves in positions where we're like, how did I get here? But we have the beauty of this promise. Not only does God see where we're at, but he's with us in those moments. He's with us in those places. And this is a big one. In the darkest moments of life, when we feel as though the darkness is going to consume us, when we don't see the light, when we don't see that light at the end of the tunnel, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. The God who's with us, yes, he sits with us in that dark place, but with him, the night is bright as day. When Jesus steps in the room, when we rest in the presence of Jesus, it doesn't matter how dark the darkness seems to us, the night is as day with him. And as we fix our eyes on him, the light of the world, he brings light to the darkness. He brings light to those situations, those times where we face the hardest things of our life. He brings light. And so wherever we find ourselves, whatever we find ourselves facing in this life, we have this promise that he is with us. And my favorite promise is, I will never leave you or forsake you. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. When we feel like he's far away, we turn and he's right there with us. Let's keep going. Verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Another layer of the depth of his knowledge for us. God's knowledge of you, his investment in your life, his hand on your life, it doesn't start when you become an adult and figure everything out of your life. It doesn't start when you graduate high school. It doesn't start when you become a teenager and no longer a kid. And it doesn't even start when you're born. From the moment you're conceived, God is intricately weaving you together. Think about how personal this is. You know, we look at science and we see the beauty of how it all works. And, you know, I love that science gives us that snapshot, that view. But let's not forget that it isn't just a science, but it's a God who has created us, a God whose hand is on our formation, who intricately weaves us together in our mother's womb. And so from the very beginning of our existence, God has been there. God has had his hand on us. As we think of that promise from the beginning, he hems us in from the very beginning. He is working to fashion us, to mold us, and shape us. So as you think about the implications of this, no one is a mistake. No one is unplanned. Maybe for the parents, but not for God. Every child that's born, he has knit together with a beautiful plan and a purpose. And so I don't know all of your backgrounds. I don't know maybe if you've struggled with that, wondering if you were a mistake. I know for me growing up, it was kind of a joke because I was the youngest and I was part of the 0.1%. My mom was on birth control when she had me. So my sisters always joke, oh, you were an accident. You know, older sisters, that's, you know, they can kind of joke like that. But, you know, it was a joke for me, but I know so many people, they struggle with that in life. If their parents weren't expecting them, God was expecting you. God formed you, he fashioned you, he made you. You aren't a mistake. You aren't unplanned. He planned you, and he has a plan for you. In verse 16, this one is, it always blows my mind when I read this, the way that it's worded. Now, I would expect it to say, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that I was formed for. Putting the focus on the days. Like, God has a plan. He's got, you know, the history of the world lined out, and he's formed me to fit the days that I'm going to be born into. But that's not the focus here. That's not the wording. It says, the days that were formed for you. The days that were formed for me. You see, it takes the focus off of the days, off of history, as if God has a series of plans that his focus is on, and it puts it on the person. You see, God is a personal God. He is a God that doesn't have this plan for history, and it's almost like a movie that he wants to play out, and how can I make this character fit in this spot? But he has people that he's created. He has children that he loves, that he desires to know, that he desires for us to know him. And so it isn't that he has some other purpose that he is, you know, fashioning us to fulfill, but that he has a purpose and a plan for us, for you, each individual, and he has formed the days for us. It's a beautiful thing, thinking that God has formed the days so that I could know him more. Formed the days so that I could be who he has created me to be, so I could know my loving Father more and more. Again, he is a personal God. He is a God who is focused on the person, not the event. As we come to know this amazing reality, God's amazing knowledge of us and all the facets, the way it works itself out, you know, it makes sense why the psalmist says in verse 17, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you." How precious to me are your thoughts. To think that there's this being who would care to know us so intimately, who would care enough about us to fashion us, each and every one of us, to form the days for us. It's mind-blowing. We can't even count his thoughts. We can't even put a figure on how valuable that is. It's hard to imagine that there is someone who could love us so much, who could care for us so much. At this point in the psalm, it takes a little bit of a turn. And we get a glimpse of what's going on. It's David who writes this, King David, and we get a glimpse of what's going on in his life. And he seems to kind of do this about face with verses 19 to 22. "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies." It's like, where did that come from? David is dealing with wicked people. He's dealing with seeing those who hate this God who he loves so much. And God is like, just slay them, just destroy them. There's two things I want to see, want us to see. Number one is where the standard lies with David. You know, whether it was right or not wrong for him to pray this, I don't really want to get into this morning, but the standard that he has, they hate you, Lord. It isn't that they hate David. They hate you, Lord. And he sees these people, as I said, who hate the God who he loves so much. You see, as God has been overwhelmed, overcome by this amazing knowledge of who God is to him, how much God cares for him. From the moment he was conceived till the day that he dies, he knows that God sees him, cares about him, is with him. And then he watches as people reject this God, hate this God. How can they hate this God who loves so much? And so he prays, God, do what you promised to do, bring justice, bring goodness. Now again, as David prays this, I think a little bit back to what we talked about last week with John when the Samaritans rejected Jesus and John said, give us the word and we will call down fire from heaven to consume them. And you think, wow, like, is it okay to pray this? Should we start thinking of those who hate God and start praying for God, just slay them, just get rid of them? And sometimes I think in our minds, we can get to that point where it's like, they're evil. What's the point anymore? You know, David says, I hate them with complete hatred. Like, those are strong words. He's overcome as he has been overcome with this love for God, this understanding of who God is. He's now overcome with this hatred towards people who would reject that, who would hate this God who loves so much. But I think as we end, we see even David recognizes that he doesn't always see things clearly. he doesn't always have the right reaction. He ends with this, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, in life, we are faced with this reality of wickedness, of evil, of hatred towards God. And as we are overcome by his love for us, we see that so much more clearly. As we see and understand the goodness of who God is, his love for us, as his light shines brightly, we can see the darkness so much clearer. We can see that wickedness and that hatred. And anything that's good to see, that isn't right, that isn't good. But Lord, search my heart, because my sin likes to get in the way. My reactions like to get ahead of me. The way I respond likes to get ahead before I actually spend time in prayer. And we see this surrender, knowing, okay, I don't always get it right. But even God knows that. Even God sees us in that. He sees the intentions of our heart. And we can pray, we can call out to him, lead me in the way everlasting, because we know that this God who loves us, who cares for us, sees us. And he will lead us. Like I said, as I read this psalm, it's always just mind-blowing how intimately he knows us, how much he cares for us. No matter what we're facing, whether it seems small or whether it seems life-altering, God sees us and he's there. I've asked Tira to come and share just a quick story of something that happened last night that I think illustrates this so beautifully. So she's going to share.
There's a lot more people from this perspective than from the other perspective. You didn't tell me that part. So most of you guys know me at least a little bit, and this psalm really means a lot to me because I've been parenting on my own for 5 years now, basically since my youngest was just a baby. And I think we can get in the trap of feeling really alone in that, but I've actually never been less alone in my whole life, because I know that God is with me in the big ways and the little ways. And just last night, I threw a load of laundry into the dryer around 9 o'clock and got the kids tucked in and had a bit of an evening and then went to bed myself. And I work a lot at night, so I'm generally chronically exhausted and sleep like a freight train could come through the house. The only thing that generally wakes me up is my kids calling me. But around 3:30 this morning, I just woke up wide awake, like instantly wide awake, which is sort of odd, you know. It wasn't like stumbling around half asleep. Like, no, just wide awake, very clear. And I thought, what's going on? Why am I? I went to check on the kids. They were both sleeping. I thought, why am I awake? And I heard sort of like a buzzing sound. I thought, oh, the dryer's running. And was getting ready to go back to bed. The dryer's running. I mean, at this point, it was 3:30. I threw the load in at 9. So what is that, like 5 hours, 6 hours? I'm terrible at math. So I went racing downstairs, and the dryer was blistering hot. The laundry was blistering hot. I threw the door open. There was no fire, but like it was so hot, I almost burnt my hand opening the door of the dryer. And so I unplugged it. And went back to bed, but my legs were shaking, and God woke me up. There's no doubt in my mind that there's no other reason that I woke up that crystal clear to identify that there was a noise and actually realize that that's not something I should be hearing. So praise the Lord, we're never alone.
Tara. When they heard that story, I'm like, I got to go ask her to share, because that's, like, if that's not a picture of God knowing us, of being with us, of seeing us, no matter where you're at, And so my prayer is that you're encouraged this morning. Yes, life can be so difficult sometimes. Even when we don't realize it, there can be a burning hot dryer in the basement that we don't even know about. But God sees it, He knows it, and He cares about it. So I pray you're encouraged by this psalm this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your care for us, that you see us, that you know us. I pray, Father, we'd be reminded of this. That this morning, this would be an encouragement to us. You know, Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We thank you for that beautiful picture, that beautiful promise that you are with us no matter what. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.